Hey guys, it's Nifty Q. Welcome back to another edition of the Wild Wild Web, where I look to explore the digital frontier through in-depth conversations with industry pioneers. Today, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Harry Leo, CEO of Forge, an Animoca brand subsidiary focused on developing engaged communities through Web3 technology. Now, topics we touch on in this episode include the rising use of Web3 IP in Asia, how the SEC filings affect Binance and CZ, and where Yuga Labs goes in late 2023 and 24. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Harry, and please remember, nothing you hear on this podcast should be construed as financial or legal advice. That's our vibe, our tribe. All right, we're live. Harry, what's up, man? Good to see you here on a Monday when Apple and the SEC are just dominating headlines. It's good to just sit down and talk to somebody else.
Today is such a great surprise, right? SEC is suing CZ, and everything's died down like 5%, like Ethereum, Bitcoin. Really a day of a lot of dynamic things is happening, right? And we share the metaverse on the other side, like what's going to happen very soon. It's going to integrate with AI. So definitely it's supporting the narrative on the sandbox. Ape coins and also Decentraland too. So yeah, a lot of stuff that's happening. Where do you want to begin?
Well, one thing I did want to touch on early, because the Apple is essentially having their announcement now about their VR headset. I didn't know if you caught any of that before we went live. I know you're taking time out of potentially even watching it just to sit down and talk with me. So I don't know if you have any takes on what that could mean for the metaverse. I know a lot of your work centers around that sector. So what are your thoughts essentially on the Apple headset?
Yeah, I think it's another big viable for distribution, Meta Quest. Having a more immersive experience is what made the metaverse more personalized, more socially engaged, and also it's an enablement, infrastructure enablement for many of us who do not have the access to high quality metaverse headsets as maybe at an affordable price level to get into it. I have a Quest, VR headset on my own. I use it from time to time to play games and also immerse myself into the virtual world. But what I found is that playing in the browser mobile is nowhere near to having the experience in the VR. So the creativity, the immersiveness really brings a very familiar feeling that you likely will stay longer in the games and also socially engage with others. I think having Apple's entering the market with broader the distribution and create more infrastructure enablement for the application that is building on top of the metaverse.
I feel like there's a certain subset of people that would say, hey, it's not going to be VR that really takes the metaverse or that type of software mainstream. It's going to be AR. Do you have any thoughts on augmented reality versus throwing on a headset and being in your living room and experiencing the metaverse?
Yeah, I think all types. So for me, I'm a more visual learner. So I don't like to read tons of rev text, and I prefer watching videos, and then in ARs and VRs. So the information that in the future when I absorb, those knowledge, you'll be visual driven, So for me personally, I really enjoy using ARs and VRs as a way to find ways that I can get familiar with the settings and also absorb the knowledge and then really feel that culture, from the development for the products and also on the creativity side.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you kind of giving me some info on some breaking news. I would love to touch on the SEC and that Binance decision as well. And are you based in Asia?
Yeah, I'm based in Canada. So our headquarters is in Hong Kong. Animoca has grown a lot the last 3 years.
Yeah.
We have a 400 portfolio to projects, and then over 500 members in different subs as a team. We have members in different places, in Hong Kong, UK, Canada, like USA as well.
Awesome. I mean, I've mentioned this multiple times on these shows, but I feel like a large blind spot for China and Asia and those markets and how they affect the NFT space. And then, you know, obviously bleeds into crypto as well with this China lifting the ban in Hong Kong specifically. Was that a big moment for, you know, Hong Kong and just for crypto in general? Like, or was that maybe just like a bigger headline than it had any substance?
Yes, huge for Hong Kong, you know. And Mocha has been rooting at Hong Kong for a very long time. Sandbox, right, is so they have different aspects, right, when it comes to like this news. It's both, right, the effort from a community, from cultural development, from the sandbox, on the institution side, right, different exchanges pushing to, as well, on that narrative. So maybe I can share a few like examples here, right? You can see the sandbox have its very first mega city in Hong Kong, like back in like 2 years ago. And that mega city brought in many of the celebrities, including Stephen Fung, Shu Qi. Those are the very famous Hong Kong legendary celebrities and movie stars, right? We also have we'll say Guru, HSBC, one of the largest bank, to last year, right, and we have MTR, which is like Hong Kong to a rail station. They are all coming to Sandbox. So Sandbox is providing as a good entry and for many of the brands to experience the first time ever what a Web3-driven metaverse is about, and both culturally and also an education level. And we also have Hong Kong's studios learning how to build on Sandbox. Schools, right? Like Hong Kong University, about 20 to 30 different school institutions have courses on how to build on the metaverse. And Sandbox is in their curriculum. We also have in the fashion side, Vivian Tam, in NYC and also in Hong Kong, who's are pushing on the fashion narrative too, having BYC, Pungs, CyberConks, etc., and have government official really don't serve fashion in the event. So you can see it's a really culturally activated scene that we have seen too. From the exchange side, we have Gaze IO. OKX many of exchanges Bybit, included Huobi, applying for the exchange license Fridays ago on June 1st. They've been pushing this agenda for a very long time. We are seeing also investments too. VCs coming back from Singapore to start their funds in Hong Kong. This one fund I can share is with Water Drip Capital. They are mainland China based, and then they get to Hong Kong and then start this $200 million fund to invest in Web3 startups. From the VC, metaverse, to fashion, gaming level, we do see Hong Kong is becoming the crypto hub, the government is opening arms to this compliance regulations and accepting more and more startups to build Web3 in Hong Kong as well. So this Beijing and others to change their rule too, and that never seen before. So I think it's a very positive news in general.
The Vivian Tam moment was super interesting because I had never seen, in my perspective, never seen NFTs in that market at such a broad scale where you have a influencer or a celebrity wearing CryptoPunks, like a CryptoPunks dress. I had not seen that, where I had seen that in the Western side with Eminem and Snoop Dogg rocking their Bored Apes. Was that one of the first moments that NFTs broke through in the mainstream, or was Asia involved in the NFT cycle, the last NFT cycle as well?
So I produce this kind of a Yuga IP map every single month and covering a lot of big brands, right, to smaller brands, right, entering the space. So like I would say last year, there's a lot of big brands like leading, which is one of the national like clothing lines similar to like Adidas, right? Nike, right? In China. The backstories are leading is Olympic gymnastics players, and then he won gold medal like many times, and then he started his company. It's the very first time they use BYC IP like for their games, for their store items merch. That's like really incredible, and that's the first time that majority of Chinese audience get to know about like BYC, and it's the best way to showcase the usage of IP. It's not knockoff. It's actually they actually purchase a BYC for hundreds of thousands of dollars and then use it. Like the Vivian Tam example is Kevin Mock, right? She's the queen of like pops in China. Like she's very popular. She works with Jackie Chan, Stephen Chow, right? The comedians known like in Hong Kong. For tens of years, she went on to this very popular singing shows, singing competition, and then people get to see she wear the punk's dress, that show has like millions of like viewers, and that got into news, right, in referee and also into the local media too. So yeah, I think there's a kind of combination of different fashion like news kind of showcase the usage of IP, and especially nowadays in Shanghai, we host lots of local events that for not just the BYC, but all the AFT like holders can join. We are seeing from the grassroots level to the top-down celebrity level, the AFT is becoming more and more mainstream, and people are like feeling more and more familiar like, when comes to AFT adoption.
What other collections or IPs are familiar with Asia, essentially? Like I've heard Captains, I've heard Azuki, and a couple other NFT collections specifically have found, a lot of popularity within Asia. Is that true, or are there some other collections you can mention?
Yeah. That's true. Like Jay Chow, right? Mashi Big Brother, right? You know, those figures that have a highly influenced on the singing scene. JJ, Lin Junjie, which is another very famous Singapore singer too. All of them to hold right, different types of NFTs. So I think they are layer one and layer two nowadays in Yuga Labs, right? And the ecosystem, Yuga Wars. Layer one is BAYC, MAYC, right? And then layer two is where we have derivative products, right? For example, BAGC, Boy Golf Club, that elite ABHK get to partners with El Tava to launch this like kind of collection. With memberships in golf, right, and merch, etc. So the price is like have a much friendly to enter at like 0.1 to 0.2 ETH. So people, when they have this kind of derivative assets, they get to know about BYC, right, and they actually get to really own the on-chain assets, and they get to use it for IP usage. So to answer your question, I think the variety of like audience in China that is pretty crypto driven already, NFTs they're holding like most HR based, it's more like Captains, like Nigect, Azuki are driven, BAYC is like when it comes to IP, it's much more popular in the West than on the East. On the East, they are more diamond hands; they treat it as an asset, they hold onto it, right? So you can see when. Yeah, like there's a liquidation that happens, and most of the votes, right? And still, it's like actually happens for ApeCoin recent elections, still happens within Asia because they own a lot of ApeCoins and they do not sell, even if it's a bear market, right? So it's a very interesting dynamic from the both sides.
I want to jump into a ton of different questions there, but I want to get to your background as well. Right before we do that, I would like to see how the SEC ruling on Binance specifically affects that market. Is that a big thing? Obviously, you being in Canada, myself in the US, we're always kind of under the shadow of the SEC. But how does this specifically affect the Chinese market, essentially, or Asia in general? Is it a big deal, or is it kind of like they don't have any jurisdiction here? How does that work?
I can tell you, immediately the questions being asked, from different Binance, I have a entity asking like teams that they invested, right, to ask like, are you in like, are there any executive teams like within China, right? Making sure that like the core team like, is not in those jurisdiction. Otherwise, you have heard, right, multi-chain, right, CEO, right, got in trouble. So the chain so basically down was like 20-30% until that he got to be released. In China, right? So news like that, right? Makes like both investors, right, and also participants worry, right? Likely in Canada it's okay. In Canada we have pretty tight regulation, like when it comes to like exchanges, but we have local exchanges like CoinSquare, Virgo CX, but Binance is kept out. They can no longer support Canada, despite CZ has started in Canada as the home country, one of their home countries. To answer your question, what are the impacts? I think number one, the incidents would definitely impact a lot in this towards CX, and more funds likely fall into DEX. So immediately you can see there's like tens of millions of dollars flowing out of Binance after the news because people are fearful of the funds got stuck on Binance. So that's number one, right? Number two is the lawsuit against Binance, right? Not just Binance, but CZ, right? Would also like cause huge market volatility, right? So like Binance Launchpad, Binance like invested projects, etc. So you can see that Binance took a huge hit, right? 8%. So many of the projects right now, especially when it comes to launching a product, launching NFT whatsoever, at a flood market like this, it's going to get huge discount, right? So they likely want to push the timeline to launch when the market is having stronger momentum, right? So there's more speculation that happening. But right now, people just like want to convert all the assets that's considered securities, like Polygon, right? Sol and others highlighting SEC paper to USDT, right? So that's another aspect to be taking, right, to see is that many tokens that launch potentially could be seen as a security. So like people are afraid of holding those assets, so they convert back to USDT. So definitely that affects, right, that too.
Why do you think those tokens were specifically chosen by the SEC to be highlighted?
I think there are a few reasons. Number one is that they're highly traded on Binance. Number two is they are one of the highest market cap. So they have the highest adoption. It's really interesting. I think both those reasons chosen just like would affect a lot of this like kind of user and made into like headlines and made people really serious, right, about this. And previously we have seen that happen for Coinbase already, right? Coinbase, we have a few tokens as considered to be security. And what after that, what happened? Coinbase deletes, right? After that's their own evaluation and delete some of the tokens. Some of the tokens, including the ones that, ACZ, right, invested, right? The Vali token, So it's interesting to see how that news will unfold. If Binance do choose to unlist some of the tokens, if they are potentially considered to be securities, then it would affect the market.
It's felt like CZ has just battled this FUD since I can remember. I got into the space in 2016, 17, and there's always been some type of jurisdiction that he's had to move to. I remember at one point Malta was this hub, this haven for starting a crypto exchange or at least maintaining one, and he's had to get through a lot of these hurdles, but it seems like he's always gotten out on the other side. Is that kind of the general feeling here? Is like this is just another one of those moments, or is this like a big, really big threat to CZ and Binance?
I think this is the first time they have a lot of evidence and proof, right, to point at CZ. But CZ has different plans, right? Number one, he can get someone else to be the CEO, right? And then he also can get his kind of legal team to review all this different points, right, to capture each one of them. Some of the terms I've read is like have a kind of overstep, like many of the non-US like have entities too. So like outside of US jurisdiction, right, too. Right. I mean Binance still like have the most of the user actually in Turkey, right, in Russia, those areas. So yeah, like there are different plans. I mean, Binance can, you know, manage. So we do see market after absorbing news, right, went back a bit. Yeah, from 8% down like to like maybe 5%, like from the BNB token. But yeah, like overall, I think regulations and compliance to pave a long-term sustainability. If CZ can, you know, carry on go through this, that means that like SEC has kind of a like accused and then always resolved, right? Likely not in 2 or 3 years, right? We see this again. So again, it's a test like for Binance to respond properly. And if things goes well, like we do see this potentially, yeah, like more, yeah, like kind of funds coming back to the market.
Okay, so I know I only have you for a short episode today. If you can give a brief rundown of who you are, how you got into the NFT space, man, I'd love to learn more about just you in general and your place in the NFT ecosystem today. So if you can give me a brief rundown.
Sure. Yeah, so like I'm CEO of Forge. Forge is a subsidiary of Animoca Brands. Animoca Brands has 400 portfolio companies, including yeah, the Sandbox, yeah, Axie Infinity. So for us, like Forge, recently we have successfully won the AIP 209 for Ape Accelerator, supporting the growth of ApeCoin and BAYC IP. In the last like have 2 years, like yeah, after Animoca like acquired majority stake, we just have been supporting the distribution and incubation for many of the projects. So you might have heard, for example, like games like yeah, like Pixels, right? So that's the game that recently integrated with a BAYC IP and improved the retention rate from 3% to 50%. This results in win-win, right? And we talk about the IP, right? The IP in games is like where BAYC IP, BAYC gets more utility. And then the games itself, right, increase more social engaged players who share on Twitter and also spend money on the game items too to increase the experience, similar to Dookie Dash. We also have like restaurants like Point Hungry, Serum Energy Drink. Those are the physical products, physical, yeah, like ventures that also get exposure, right, by integrating that into the IP. So they get more customers in the, their restaurants. And finally, the all the participants, right, too, right, who likely would receive airdrops or participation in the token economy. So we have this thesis that where this kind of non-zero-sum game, when it comes to referee IP, we all can collaborate and support each other by implementing, yeah, like referee IP into games and resulting we mean together. So yeah, like that's kind of a brief intro. There's actually more to share, right, because we got to share IP map, right, every single month, highlighting about 287 projects. This month, likely we reach to 300 projects. We have done this since August last year. It was huge, right? A list now compared to the past, only have we have like 50 projects. Yuga has grown a lot, right? From more of a, you know, centralized brand to right now it's like becoming more and more decentralized. Many of the games, fashion brands, like sports brands, educational brands, right? Kind of a building on top of the IP to really showcase the best of the best of the referee. So yeah, I guess that's kind of a brief intro. Like I think yeah, maybe next time, so maybe you can have a longer time to share. More about referee IP, other side metaverse development, and how AI potentially can integrate with this AR headsets and also developments on the metaverse too. So we can see how potentially all this can result in faster acceleration in a brand adoption, like from Web2 to referee.
Did you get into the space in this first NFT cycle, or have you been in crypto for a minute?
I have been to the NFT space, like crypto space, like I have for 5 years. Started, let's kind of a Google partners, and we have been receiving a lot of like Bitcoin, Ethereum as a payment request. And that makes me curious, right, what this token, what the utilities are. And then after that, I become more of a like hobby analysis on analyzing altcoins in different alpha groups. And then started an advisory firm to advise projects, based on the lessons accumulated teach different projects how to do build community, how to get a healthy token economy. So at the time, we have a company like Coty, like Softcare, those are the real OG projects back in the days, and they all get listed to real good exchange, for example, Coty into Binance. And then, get to explore into the NFT market, maybe like 3 to 4 years ago. We see this this lot of innovation that can happen in NFT space. When we see singers like Pelicake, who is like YouTuber, who does a lot of streaming in music, but he only got a fraction of a cent when it comes to getting a listen from Spotify or from YouTube. So finding out NFT is a way that we can create a fan economy and making fans closer to the creators, We helped Pelican, this singer on YouTube, who has 2.3 million subscribers, to launch his very first NFT. And it was amazing. He got in 2 days, he got 2 years worth of salary, 2 years of not salary, 2 years of what he made in the Web2 space. It's $60,000 to $80,000, in 2 days. So that makes me thought, wow, if we can enable an artist like this to create sustainable income, can we do this for more and more projects and artists, creators? So we started the first NFT launchpad for Forge. From there, we've just been onboarding different projects to launch NFT, support them. We have 20 plus projects that launch NFT for our platform. And then, I would say in the first month, when we launched the first NFT, we chatted with Sebastian, the co-founder of Sandbox. And he immediately felt very interested for what we do and then became our advisor. 1 year later, he commanded us to connect with Animoca Brands, and then we got acquired. And Mocha Brand at the time was having a lot of success in gaming, but they don't really have any tools, solutions to support with NFT launch. We see ourselves it's a very complementary fit. We chatted with Yat and me of the executive team, and then to see this will be a very great collaboration. And then I got acquired.
That's a really great and keen collaboration too, because Animoca is great at spreading a wide breadth of projects, but you guys come in and essentially are like, how can we make these projects extremely successful? In the time that you've been in the crypto and NFT space, what has been the majority or what has been the singular most problem that you've seen across the NFT scene in general with retention and how these projects have essentially not risen to the top or been seen consistent success? What's the major issue you see in a lot of NFT projects today that they're not succeeding on so that they can, maybe even make it to next cycle?
Yeah, I think you hit it right in the nail here. So there are two common problems after we chat with hundreds of founders: user traction and making sustainable income, revenue. So those are two main problems, every builders would experience. If we get user traction, basically the revenue problem will be solved, And nowadays, especially 2 weeks ago, Turbo, PayPay, and nowadays we have BIC20, the user attention and referee is really short, We have a short time span. We hop until one thing to another. So that's the biggest problem, that's number one, in terms of a short attention span and in making user enabled to really spend a long time into a project. And then number two is a lack of storytelling, and content. You guys are one of the exceptional company that can always make you anticipate what's coming to next. But many of the projects unlike Yuga, they already share all their roadmap, and that's bad, because by sharing all the roadmap, if you get to hit all the roadmap items, you just deliver. By the time you deliver, there's nothing more excited than they move on. So many of the projects over promise, under deliver, and they don't know how to create a narrative to get people excited again and again. So retention is super important. In Pixels, Like we have a 50% retention rate compared to 3%. In Turkey Dash, we have 40%, right? Compared to a benchmark in hyper casual games of 3%. So how retention work? Why like Turkey Dash and Pixel's recent activation have so much people continue to play, right? There are a few factors come to play here. UGC, right? User generated content. When user able to create social driven content themselves, then likely this is a very community driven event. They immerse themselves into the game. The NFT they have gotten, they're not going to sell it. They're going to hold on to it because it's like a trophy, right? So this applies to the Wayne Hamlets from the second trip. This applies to Kami minted in the 10KTF from 1 ETH right now to 5 to 8 ETH. So UGC is a bit, one of the best parts. Second part to the solution to the puzzle on the Web2 brands coming to Web3, right? Bringing in really real innovation, also bringing the real audience too. So we're seeing Gucci, Adidas, Puma this year really coming in with a dedicated team. 2 years ago, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, they just launched NFT and they go away. And they didn't bring any real audience here. But this time it's different. We're seeing Gucci really dedicate their time to create Gucci Grail, right? Which is like 20 collections with different types of clothing personalized for the holders. So holders feel, wow, you guys are really committed in the community and really engaged. So I want to support it, right? So they stay and building a culture, right? So we see this would continue to happen in the metaverse. When this culturally activated content would be 3D, AR, right? Have 3D also enhanced by Apple's and all other main players too. So that's the second factor that can, bring more retention by having new world brands coming in. And then, third is just, I think, ecosystem synergy, right? Think about us are being on a journey in each different games, different metaverses, destination, right? And BAYC, right? Azuki, all these brands, we need to partner with different games, and each activation comes in different types of experience. Similar to the times that you're watching anime, right? Watching a soul opera, and you have a different episode, and after each episode, you anticipate watching the next one, right? Similar to Marvel series too. And that's what we're seeing, like the Yuga Labs are doing so great with the Yugaverse like type franchises, despite they have different like games coming, but they're really good at storytelling and tie all the stories together. So after people playing the game, they share to their friends to get more people in the story. And then they can continue to expand to the next one. So everybody is like kind of anticipating what the story will come and staying to listen to the next episode. And we are seeing that happens more and more. Get templates applied by Oni, right? Zoom Falls, after being acquired by OFR Fund, and they rebrand and then start, right? More becoming more storytelling. And I think this would apply very well to Sandbox. Other side, there's no one winner takes all, but it's a way that we can all collaborate together and experience success. And by bringing more Web2, right, people coming to Web3 by having this kind of templates.
The light bulb just went out for me with the other side, because I kept looking at it as a game in a sense, like in the traditional sense. But really, what you just hit on is that other side will be used as a tool to tell a story. And for multiple different projects.
Exactly. And we have so many great holders with their own stories, right? 10KTF, that's like Yuga driven. We have Born Hungry, right? Likely can open restaurants here. When you are hungry, you can go to Born Hungry to boost your energy, right? To move on to your next mission. And that missions can be all tied up together, right? With the different games, right? That we have that in 2D that can be taken to 3D. We also have a lot of physical, right, like products, like Mutant Grapes, like BAGC we mentioned, right? All this physical experience that they have done, right, maybe can tie back to the other side, and they get exclusive wearables, right, by coming to the physical events, coming to the live show like this, right? So yeah, just like having you and me in the streaming platform, we can be on the other side, and after 10 session, the people who listen get a trophy, right? Get a variables, and that variables would enable them, right, to have a maybe 10% boost in the game. So it was free, but because of this nature of a referee, And then the network synergy, it immediately has Mario, similar to the Ring Hamlet, right? So we do see other side will bring a lot of social dynamics, UGC tools, brand activations, like to the space. And yeah, really enable us like to like create more exciting content items instead of just like speculating on the D and the 8 points.
Harry, thank you for your time today, man. The last thing I'd love for you to just quickly touch on is your eight proposal that got passed. I'd love to give you some shine on that and like say how people can get involved and potentially what you're doing with the accelerator program. And then one thing that interests you outside of the other side that Bored Ape is doing, that Yuga's doing essentially, because everybody knows about the other side already. We're anxiously waiting the launch of the game and all these different things. But interested in your take on what else Bored Apes are doing that is really catching your eye.
Sounds good. Yeah, so like for the Ape Accelerator, we welcome like anyone's building on top of ApeCoin and like BOIC IP to apply. Like just shoot me a DM and like we would have like open workshops like every single month, right? 2 months later that open for all the builders, and we have an exclusive list of cohort that we would incubate and support right to launch, right? For to the Ape kind of a launch pad where the wider right Ape coin holders can participate, like for the launch pad. So we have 9 projects in the pipeline at the moment, and many of them are like pretty strong candidates that we do know, like we all know, like in the space already. So yeah, we will be kind of announcing it 1 to 2 months later. So thanks for the time that here and for us to shout out the Ape Accelerator. It's really a hard grind after 9 months of work. But we finally got this kind of in the vote and get many community members to vote yes to. I want to take a moment to really appreciate the community support and also your support too, to give us the air time. For the questions regarding other side development, I do see the free narrative that's coming to play. Number one is games, right? So you guys hiring the head of a game, right, in business development. So we will see more game studios coming to the Yugaverse is the easiest way, fastest way that we can bring millions of audience on board. If you have seen ONG, right, making hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that to Hidash increased 40% of the community size. We do see more games will be happening, some are internal, some are external. And then second, what we see is more and more UGC, right, user-generated content. Each of the eight, I do see this opportunity to have its own story. And all these stories can tie together. For example, Grateful, right? Grateful is like hosts like you, but he just like launched his chocolate brand like last week. And then he shared this like in NFT Eastbound, right? And his chocolate can be an NFT, right? And then it's integrated to the other side and also with others too. So like he's kind of using his apes as an IP, right? To support, right? His kind of like chocolate's idea. So more and more like apes, right, BAYC or many of the PFP, they can use other side as a tool to create stories. And then number three is more and more brands are joining, right? So if you have seen the patterns, brands coming to Sandbox, you can see what the future looks like for Yuga Labs too, right? Because many brands like Snoop Dogg, they're not just going to have concert in the Sandbox. They're going to have concert on the other side. Same applies to Eminem and many of the others too. And you can imagine by that time, we will have constant concert coming from not the most famous one, but maybe tier 2, tier 3 DJ events, right? So many of the apes can hang out on the other side regularly, right? With a discovery tool to like understand which metaverse they want to come in, and then so they can pay tickets, tens of dollars, hundreds of dollars in ApeCoin to experience those experiences. So yeah, like while Yuga is building, right, their vision of the metaverse, us, right, we can start preparing ourselves, right, in the age of AI. Really, we don't need to have a skill set of understanding 3D assets, creation, environment creation. We just need to become better writers to write our story out so that, we can invite people to our stories.
Harry, I feel like we need a second follow-up episode here. I know we have to cut it off here, but we got through a good 40 minutes, but let's have a part two soon, man.
Yeah, sounds good. I really enjoy your time here and look forward to our next one.
All right, guys. Hey, I had Harry Lou, CEO of Forge. They're accelerating Web3 IP ecosystem growth. So I'm excited for what they're doing within Yuga and honestly, like everything you guys are building. So yeah, talk soon.
Have a good one. Bye now.